Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
Yes, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, although I'm not sure if we're ready. Mike Salmon alongside Stephen Julian. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great, but not as good as the deep, sultry tones of Mike Salmon this morning.
Man, this pollen is just killing us. Not just me and you, but our guests as well.
We will battle on, won't we?
Typically, I don't like rain because it always kind of messes up your outdoor plans. I've been wanting rain like for a week now. It's like we need a good, hard thunderstorm.
Absolutely. And one thing Atlanta and Gwinnett and Georgia is known for is the insane pollen counts this time of year, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Almost like we stand out with it. Speaking of standing out, Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out.
I was wondering where you were going with
by
that.
Providing high-quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com.
You got an airplane to catch or something?
I just wanted to try my fast-reading voice today.
All right. Appreciate that very much. Let's tell you who's in the studio to your left and right, Stephen. Apparently, they don't want to be anywhere near me because they're all sitting on that end of the table by you.
Well, they're very wise people.
Yes.
That's why they're here.
You've got that attraction about you. But joining us from Credo Financial Services is Dan Lucas. And from the Lopez firm, Brenda Lopez, an attorney, is with us today. So let's start with Dan Lucas, Credo Financial Services. Good morning, Dan.
Morning. How you doing?
Doing okay, considering all this
little
pollen.
Little sniffly.
Yeah. We'll try to manage. Talk about Credo Financial Services. Just give us the broad overview of what your company does and talk about the Credo way and why that's important.
Sure. So we're a firm of certified public accountants and chief financial officers, about half and half. And we primarily work with either business owners or people that just hate paying taxes, basically. We're very passionate about trying to keep people's money in their pockets instead of in the government coffers. So that's our big thing. And we work with business owners to make sure that they pay as little as possible, that they manage their cash. We really focus just to make sure they can sleep at night and not wondering about where their money's going. So we're really kind of financial gurus in the business world.
All right. I have to ask the first follow-up question. I love the target market, business owners who are trying to pay as little in taxes as possible.
He said people that don't like paying taxes.
Right, don't like paying taxes.
As if there's people out there that do.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big target market. Are there any business owners that love paying taxes?
Not really, and that's why I chose it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good target market.
It's kind of like finding men that like to eat. Not too hard.
I'm in that group.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell us about you and your background. How long have you been in the financial services industry?
Yeah, well, actually, I grew up in Chicago. I used to have really, really bad allergies there, if you believe it or not. But I'm totally clear here by some act of
God.
That
makes no sense whatsoever.
It makes no sense. I mean, I was miserable up there. Well, the snow didn't help either. But
the fresh air coming off the lake just, caused all kinds of problems.
Yeah,
for
you.
The pollen down here, you just love it.
Maybe you were allergic to snow, and that's why it all went away.
I think that could be true. Yeah. Well, I definitely get cold now when it's 60 here, so I'm definitely in Atlanta now.
Nice.
I moved here in 99. I majored in accounting in college and really didn't really know what I wanted to do. I got my CPA right out of school, went to work for Arthur Anderson up in Chicago. Was a lot more interested in the future than the past. And so quickly went in to work for different companies and ended up as a CFO of a marketing firm and started doing more fractional CFO work and tax work, that type of thing. And worked on my own for a while, but then really just wanted to kind of spread out the help that I was doing and formed a firm and started training other people and whatnot. So, now we're really kind of on mission to help business owners.
Speaking of the mission, why don't you focus on something Mike asked at the very beginning. What is the Credo Way?
Yeah, so the Credo Way is a list of 10 rules that we live by, sort of like the 10 commandments of how we do things. And a lot of it was just trying to be clear about what our identity was and who we are. any business, I would recommend go through that process. I mean, if you don't know who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it, it's going to be hard to get up in the morning. And you definitely want your employees to know that as well and communicate that often. But, you know, we're just a different type of firm in that we've noticed that, you know, the millionaire next door type guy, a lot of times wears jeans. They don't even have slacks. The richest guy is always dressed down the most for some reason. And I think a lot of us at the firm have some corporate background, used to have to wear a suit and tie. We're kind of in that, you know, CPA. I don't know, I guess, you know, everybody just thought we were kind of button up shirt and all that stuff. And we're just more about results. We're more about getting the job done. And that's just our culture. So, you know, one of the things we say is we don't believe that you have to wear a tie to be serious about money. I do wear ties on occasion. That doesn't mean I'm anti-tie, but we're just a little bit more laid back than other firms.
Anti-tie, how dare you? Mm-hmm. So, no, just kidding. So when we walk in your office, we don't have the big ivory towers or anything like that, because it is about results. And of course, as a business owner, that's what you want. As far as entrepreneurs and business owners, when it comes to taxes, what are some of the more common mistakes that you see out there?
Common mistakes for business owners.
Other than not paying taxes, which yep. you probably don't recommend.
I would say that a lot of business owners are do-it-yourselfers. I mean, that's one thing. Really, good tax planning goes from a year-to-year type schedule. And so you really have to be in line with your CPA. So he knows exactly what's going on between 2015, 2016, 2017. Because, you know, the way the tax system is set up is there's higher brackets for higher income levels. And it's all set up on an annual basis. So January 1st to December 31st is a cutoff. Well, that gives us some advantages in that we can plan year to year. So I'm looking at, I want you to pay as little tax as possible for the period 2016 to 2020, not just this year. So I'm really kind of doing both short-term and long-term planning, depending on what kind of cash you have, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, you know, a lot of business owners, they think that it is what it is. And that's just not true at all. I mean, it is what it is. There's a lot of deductions, a lot of planning that can go into lowering your income tax. There are loopholes. For some reason, loopholes get this dirty connotation to them, but they're in the law. So, I mean, they're there for your advantage. So,
yeah, loophole has a negative connotation, but it's a fact of actually knowing the law and using the law to your advantage.
I guess it's the hatred of the top 1% or whatever, but I don't know. So be the top 0.5%, pay less tax, you know. But, you know, really, it's just going into planning. And one of the things that really irritated me when I was doing a lot of fractional CFO work was you would do CFO work for a business owner. Taxes was just not looked at. You know, people would be looking at, oh, we can save money on rent and we can save money on insurance and we can save money on this. It's like, yeah, but what about that $400,000 tax bill? Like, you're not looking at that. Oh, that's the CPA. Well, you know what, man? I mean, I'm a CPA, but a lot of them are just prepping taxes. I mean, they're not really doing good planning. And so as a CFO, I really needed to get involved in taxes. And so that's what we really do.
So let me focus on that, because when you started the interview and said that you're about half CPA and half CFO, is that unique among CPA firms?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And I think, you know, I guess I'm a little bit of a disruptor. I mean, I saw in the market that CFOs were really missing the boat on things and CPAs were really missing the boat on things. And that it really all acts together, and that CFO function really needs to be with the CPA function. It's sort of a house divided. You know, have you ever seen those license plates that say house divided? I actually need to get one of those that has CFO. Yeah. Because I want to create some competition in there where the CPAs and the CFOs are kind of fighting each other.
And is it because they're on two different islands, they think I've got to protect my island and that guy, all he's going to do is disrupt my island. But when they start working together, like in your firm, as they talk to each other, mm-hmm. there can be synergies and, you know, do you have a good story, a good example of a way that you combine CFO and CPA through your firm for a client and they saw tremendous results?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when the CFO goes into the business, we really want to understand what's going on with your business. I mean, if you have a headache, you know, I can give you an aspirin, but you might have something really bad going on in your head. So we got to figure out what's going on. It could be a tumor or something like that. We really want to understand what your business is, what your goals are, what's going on. You may not need a CFO. I mean, you know, as a CFO, I mean, you might not need cost cutting. You might have a problem with employees. You might have a sales problem, a marketing problem. So we really want to understand what the problem is so that what we're doing is actual value to you. But anytime we get into the taxes, We have to bring in the CPAs. Absolutely. The CPA aspect of it. And we work seamlessly so that, you know, we're doing all the accounting, we're doing all the finance, we're looking at cash flow, and we're communicating with the CPA because cash flow is important for taxes too. I mean, business owners have got to make these quarterly payments. It's frustrating. It's stressful. A lot of times they don't know what it looks like. So the CFO and the CPA have got to be lock and step on that. No, I don't think there's a turf protection thing. It's just more of, I like a little healthy competition, you know, in fact, of who's more valuable, you know, who's providing more value, CFOs or CPAs. And I like to kind of stir that pot and let the argument go on that.
We're talking with Dan Lucas with Credo Financial Services here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Mike Salmon along with Steve and Julian. And we're talking about saving businesses taxes, which every business likes. What are some of the areas that you really look at to help companies save those taxes? Where are some of those loopholes or areas where they can save a little bit of money?
Well, most businesses are pass-through entities, which means that most companies themselves don't pay taxes. So they usually flow through to the owners. And I would say a majority of companies are single owners that we work with. We work with most companies that are anywhere from 1 to 100 employees.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of deductions like Section 179 deductions where you can invest money in different equipment and get a write-off.
I love that Section 179.
You were reading it last night, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can get a nice new car out of that sometimes too, right?
If you ever have trouble falling asleep at night, just read Section 179. It'll put you right out like that.
Yeah. Get the executive summary, I'd recommend. Yeah. But, you know, as far as...
A CPA and a CFO with a sense of humor, what do you know?
Again, a value proposition that is unique in the industry.
It's part of the Credo way, apparently.
I don't have a tie on either, right?
That's true. We can attest to that.
You're going to have to repeat your question because now
I was going to...
these rabbit trails we get on here.
Let me repeat the question and add something to it because he said, you know, what are some major ways that businesses can save money on taxes? Let me add to that also through good CFO work. Mm-hmm. So save money on their cash flow, increase their cash flow and their bottom line. So feel free to jump into both of those that you guys have been able to see ways to help the average business.
Yeah, so I think it's a multi-step approach because we want the business to get the maximum write-offs, right? And even the accounting basis you pick can have an aspect on what your taxes are. After we cut down the business income as far as we can, then it flows through to your personal. And when it flows through to your personal, now we're looking at personal deductions, you know, and there's lots of different types of investments that you can do that have tax advantages. Some you have to tie money up, some you don't. It just depends on what they're looking to do. A lot of times if your tax bracket is above 25%, I can do a lot for you to kind of cut it down to 25%. Those are sort of some trade secrets I'm going to leave out there. But
you have to call him to find out exactly what.
You're going to have to call me, yeah. To find out. But, and then there's tax credits. So, you know, we can lower your business income. The business income flows through to you. I attack your personal income. And then when we get the tax bill down as far as we can, I attack it further with tax credits. You know, so it's really a step-by-step process and you kind of work it through the funnel.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, because I know some people that kind of do what you do. They help you save money mm-hmm. and then they take their cut from what they help you save. So in the way they sell themselves is we're not going to cost you anything. Mm-hmm. You guys are different. I mean, you're more of a traditional financial firm, I would think, as far as how you charge your customers.
Yeah, I mean, actually, certified public accountants are not supposed to charge that way anyway. It's a conflict of interest. But if you do tax incentives like tax credits, you can do that. So in other words, if let's say you're doing retraining credits or job opportunity credits, if we're looking for that. You know, if we find those, we can get a cut of it. When you come into a conflict of interest, like if you come to me and say, if you save me money, I'll pay you a percentage of that savings. That's just a moral hazard. That's a conflict of interest. So we're not supposed to do that.
Let me focus on a phrase you use, which is fractional CFO work. And Mike kind of went in the interview and said, you know, what are the mistakes businesses are making when it comes to their taxes? Let me ask you to expand on what are the mistakes businesses are making when it comes to their CFO? Because most businesses, especially the ones you work with, mm-hmm. they don't have a CFO on staff. They're their own CFO. So what are some real common CFO mistakes that small business owners are making?
That's a great question. I think the word CFO is thrown around a lot, kind of like, you know.
Like what?
Everybody's an advisor, exactly. Everybody's an accountant, or, you know,
consultant.
Because you'll see somebody has three days of QuickBooks training and all of a sudden they're a CFO. you know, your CFO is an expensive, usually an expensive person, and they should be looking to the future and they should be adding value. In other words, if you have an accountant, you know, I get the fact that a lot of times you're paying them to stay organized and take care of things that you don't want to do, so they save you time. But the CFO should be an investment. I mean, if you're paying money to a CFO, that CFO should be able to show you that you paid me this and the value added was this. And it obviously it should be in your favor if you're investing in the CFO. And that's because they're looking to the future, right? They're looking to the future. They're taking your plan. They're building the finances around that plan, making sure there's enough cash to execute it and advising you on that so that you know, hey, you know what? That's a great idea, except that's never going to happen unless we get $1 million. So I'm going to have to go out and get that for you. And I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of entrepreneurs, they can be easily distracted sometimes. And I'm included in that, I guess. But
really?
Lots of great ideas. But I think, you know, I think they appreciate somebody that can kind of tell them, hey, that's a bad idea, and here's why I think it is. You know, if you can't explain yourself, you're never going to get to them. But you have to explain to them why. But then also, you got to make it happen. I mean, you got to make rain. I mean, if the CEO has a strategy he's trying to implement and he knows it's going to work from a business perspective, you got to make it happen. I mean, you can't be a CF no. You know, you have to be a CFO. And so,
tweet that. You can't be a CFO.
No, CF no.
You can't be a CF no, be a CFO.
Right. So if somebody says, look, I need this and this and this, and or I need, you know, this is my business plan and you need to raise money, well, you got to go get it. And if your CFO can't do that for you, then you don't have the right CFO, or they're not a CFO. You know, I see a lot of controllers, and controllers are great, and controllers make six figures and everything. But a lot of those guys are looking to the past and they're trying to keep things in line for you. CFOs, they should be adding value. I mean, they should be making it happen. They should be your right-hand man. So that's what we focus on. And small businesses are, it's such a disadvantage. You know, larger businesses have more resources. They can go hire that big CFO, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of times the CEO has to be the CFO. Somebody has to be the CFO, right? And so hiring a fractional firm like us, you know, we do 5-10 hours a week, even less sometimes, but I can pack a lot of advice into an hour, you know, for somebody to give them guidance.
Because you can streamline it because you've done it for so long. Yeah. And
we've all outsourced. I mean, we don't have, you know, you might have a cleaning service come in, but that doesn't mean you hire a maid as a full-time employee, right? So, I mean, it makes sense to outsource every once in a while.
Boy, you use the term disruptor. And if it hasn't, first of all, again, Mike, here, I wish we had people who were passionate about what they do. But what's amazing is, especially in your realm of CPA and CFO, there's reactive and proactive. And there's a lot more reactive than proactive, which is why you probably call yourself a disruptor, because the proactivity of what you're doing comes through loud and clear. And there's no question in that. I just wanted to make a comment, a testimonial about what am I hearing.
I call Steven a disruptor all the time, but it's for different reasons.
Yeah, that's a bad disruptor. This is a good disruptor.
Well, I think that's why I'm in my own business. I mean, I had worked for other people and I was just always questioning things. Like, why do we do it this way? This is really dumb. This doesn't add any value to the client. We're like, well, just shut up and do your job.
Okay, because we're billing him for it.
Yeah, exactly. We're all getting rich, so whatever.
You're listening to Dan Lucas, CEO of Credo Financial Services. Dan, great stuff. For those that want to find out more, some business owners that are listening to you that would like to reach out to you, give us your contact information, website, all that good information.
Yeah, so our website is credofinance.com. Actually, we have another website called credotennischampionships.com, and we have a tennis tournament that's benefiting Hope International this summer at St. Ives Country Club. It's going to be the second annual. Last year, we had guys like Donald Young out there playing, so that was really fun, if you guys know anything about tennis. So those two websites, again, credofinance.com and credotennischampionships.com. I can be reached at dlucas@credofinance.com, and our number is 678-802-8800.
When you need that celebrity doubles team, Steven and I are ready to go.
Well, we're looking for sponsors, so if you guys are up for it, we can talk about that later.
Ooh. I'm a tennis guy. We'll talk after the show for sure. Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And now for some words from my no-host, Stephen Julian.
Wow. Thanks. I'm going to love doing this reading.
I'm sorry. I'm a little loopy from all the pollen out there. Wait. You love. Something tells me you're going to tell us about Subaru of Gwinnett.
That's right, because love is what makes a Subaru, Mike. You can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett is where people sell cars. You can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. You can come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Their lot is right around the corner from our studio, so we love them as neighbors, and I'm sure they'll be around sometime soon. And when the show's over, we can all go over there and jump in a Subaru.
You're stretching it now, aren't you?
I am.
Just I'm read trying the to, stupid thing.
I'm trying to not be called the no host. Holy cow.
Wait a minute. Whoa, hold on.
Dan wants to say something.
Have you guys seen that Subaru commercial with the crash with the lady that has the kid in the car?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Really kind of hit
me. I liked the one where they said, and they survived. You know, they showed the car, and they go, and they made it. They made it. They made it. That's a good one.
Are you two done now?
Yes, Mike, okay. You can go on.
All right. Our next guest has been waiting patiently. God bless her. We appreciate her very much. Brenda Lopez from the Lopez Firm. Brenda, hello. How are you?
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for the invite.
Yes. Are you suffering from the pollen as well?
I am, just a little bit. Either that or cold. I don't know anymore.
There's probably people out there right now and they're listening to this podcast like in the middle of the winter. Like, what are they talking about? But as we do the show live, it's like late March and the pollen is just like covering everything. It's horrible out there. My car is green. It's typically tan. It's now green from pollen.
I thought it would be yellow, Mike.
No, it's whatever.
All right.
It's you, the blend. Get the to blend the, with the
well
car.
Done. Well
car
done,
color.
Brenda.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Just try to understand what I'm trying to say. Just go with it. But I know I called you a no host instead of a co-host. I understand why you're a little upset right now. So I won't do that again.
Forget about me. Let's talk to our great guest, Brenda Lopez.
The Lopez Firm. You're an attorney, Brenda. Tell us all about your firm.
That's correct. I'm a boutique immigration services. That's the type of legal matters that we handle at the immigration firm. I do a whole host of different immigration services, everything including removal defense in immigration court and everything else on the side of a lot of family petitions, filing on behalf of family members to either adjust their status or come into the country. And then a lot of broad range of services, including citizenship, naturalizations, and different visas that are available throughout the process.
Well, you're in a great location. You're based in Norcross, which is where your office is, according to this. And, of course, Gwinnett County, with an open-door policy. I mean, we have so many folks coming from all different countries. So I would think, I'm assuming most of your casework and business is here in Gwinnett County. Do you serve other areas as well outside the county?
Yes, actually, it's a broad metro Atlanta, primarily. Fulton, DeKalb, Cobb. And I do have actually some clients in Charlotte or North Carolina because we go to Charlotte Immigration Court, which isn't that far away, about a three, four hour drive. So they do expand. I have some clients that are actually in Virginia and some in California, but that's just happenstance because a lot of the work that we can do, that's not immigration court related can be done even if they are outside of our metro Atlanta area.
Brenda, a lot of times when we have business owners sitting in here, one of the questions we'll ask is, you know, how does a client start? What does it look like when they start and they meet you for the first time? When it comes to immigration law, are there many different starting points? Are there so many different kinds of situations that you find yourself in?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the things that I like that, you know, every day and every case is very different. Even though some of the process is pretty similar, a lot of the facts and situations are always different. And I always tell folks, especially, and I think this is true for just all practice areas in law, but specifically in immigration, that no two cases are the same. And so the devil is in the detail in terms of figuring out where a person is. And so, you know, people can start in a lot of points. I have clients that are in midway through a process, but for one or another reason, you know, either are just hiring an attorney or deciding to change attorneys. So, yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint sort of like where we start with a client.
So would there be some tips that you would give for an individual about starting? You know, one of the things I say in my day job is it usually starts with a question. Usually people need my services because it starts with a question. Do they need to wait until they get some kind of letter or do they need to start early? What kind of advice would you give to somebody?
No, absolutely. No, don't start till you get something in the, you know, I do find myself with a lot of clients that come in because they've started processes on their own. And then at some point they've gotten requests for additional evidence or they've gotten decisions of denials or you know, or just something happened where they haven't had any contact or basically any contact with any of the immigration agencies that we deal with, because we deal with different immigration agencies. So I think that definitely the one of the advice that I try to give to people is don't start on your own. Definitely, you know, come see us, come have a consult. And the other thing is that I need a consult, because most people call and the first thing they ask me is like, well, can I do something, you know, to regularize my status or to process a visa for an employee? And I always say, you know, it's like, imagine if you go to your doctor and you tell them I have a headache. What's wrong with me and what's my treatment? I'm like, that it's really hard to just tell you off the bat what options you do or don't have available without actually a sit down consult. And one of the things that I like about having a boutique immigration services, which is different from basically going to a larger kind of high volume law firm, is that you get that person-to-person contact. You know, the consults are actually directly with me. You're not dealing with an assistant or a paralegal or some third party that's kind of like checking you off through a list. And so we have a lot of, one of the things that I like is that personal contact, personal relationship with the client.
Tell us more about Brenda Lopez. How long have you been an attorney, and why specifically? You mentioned earlier that you like every day is different, but what was it that maybe turned you towards immigration specifically as well?
But the why is probably just life circumstances. Just things happen that way. I've been in practice for 5 years as an attorney, but actually even before going to law school, I was a paralegal doing immigration matters with an attorney at that time. So, you know, I definitely had that background in immigration matters prior to law school. That was one of the situations. The other thing is a lot of I do a lot of advocacy work. I do a lot of volunteer work with different organizations that promote civil rights, political representation, political advocacy, general advocacy in general. And as you mentioned, right, obviously Metro Atlanta, not just Gwinnett County, is very diverse communities with a lot of immigrant communities in addition to that. So I've worked a lot within those communities. And so that just kind of like that's what I mean when sort of like life circumstances kind of led that way.
And you mentioned how diverse Gwinnett County is, and there's so many folks coming to the county. I mean, Gwinnett County continues to be one of the fastest growing counties in the country. Are there enough immigration attorneys here to handle the load?
I think in Atlanta, we are getting to a point where, you know, I think that about 5 to 10 years ago, there definitely was a larger need. But we're getting to that point with something that Dan mentioned also that we think about also in the immigration services side is that every attorney, because they saw the sort of the market available for immigration service, you know, just one day was doing workers' comp and then the next day it's like I'm an immigration attorney or you read a book and then you think you're an immigration attorney. So I think that we've had that similar experience for immigration services in the legal world, you know, where there's a lot of heavy marketing to those services where the firm really hasn't specialized in that area.
And I would think, and we're talking with Brenda Lopez with the Lopez firm here on Gwinnett Business Radio. I would think with what's been happening in the world over the last several years, it's not as simple as it once was to do all the paperwork and everything, more to the reason why someone should hire someone like you, because you've probably just in the 5 years that you've been an attorney, seen the process get more complicated and a lot more work because of everything going on around us.
Absolutely. There's always a lot of changes. So with immigration matters, the one unique part of it is that you have both federal changes, whether it be in legislation and actual laws or whether in policies of how the agencies administer their different programs. And then obviously you have state changes, state laws in our state, not necessarily very progressive or inclusive, but nonetheless is where we live and we have to deal with what happens in our state. And then, of course, there's actually changes even at the local levels at our immigration court. Our immigration court in Atlanta has a whole different culture and process and procedures from the court itself than the Charlotte immigration court, despite the fact that it should be the same law, but actually the process goes really different. Obviously, the personalities of the judges are very different between our Atlanta and our Charlotte courts. And that's true of most courts throughout the country. And same thing with our field offices, right? We have very different personalities as a whole, or cultures as a whole between different cities. So you're actually dealing with all of those, like I said, from the local office standpoint or from the local court standpoint to the state laws, to the federal laws and policies that are changing. So, you know, again, that's not only is every client different. Sometimes it feels like every day going to a local office or immigration court is different as well. It's some new process or some new procedure.
In talking with Dan, we were focusing on the tax code, and there's plenty of evidence of how big the tax code is and how many thousands of pages it is and all the changes every year. Mm-hmm. Sounds like immigration law and immigration rules, those are constantly changing too. And you might stand up and go, hey, it's pretty big. And again, that speaks to don't try to do it yourself.
Right. And that's very similar in the sense, especially with the tax code, where a lot of the process is very administrative, and a lot of process where people say, you know, it's like you can do it on your own. Maybe for you know, some really basic filings, whether it's tax or immigration matters, that may be the case. But it gets to a point that depending on the facts and the complexity of your case, that really that's just not the best way to go. And I think that the IRS is probably as unforgiving as immigration services, where, you know, improperly filed forms or errors on the forms themselves is makes a huge difference in your life. For purposes of tax code, I guess, I don't know, maybe you could end up owing more money than maybe you ought to. But for immigration matters, it may be a difference between you being able to stay in this country or not. So it's a huge risk.
Brenda, I think the topic of immigration, it's like our noses. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a thought on it. And I think sometimes as I listen to the ongoing conversation about immigration, I think sometimes we focus too much on the negative side of it. You being in the trenches every day, you working with individuals going through immigration properly, what's some of the good news that we don't hear? What's some of the positive things that you've been around and that you've noticed, whether it's laws, changes, or just some of the experiences of some of your clients?
Yeah, you know, what we hear about most in the news is the issues that we've yet to deal with, which is with the unauthorized population. And people are unauthorized because there is no option to regularize your status. If there were, people would do that very quickly, very happily. But that's the bulk of what we focus when we hear about immigration in the news. On the other side of sort of how immigration processes when there are options available, I mean, it's basically serving, especially the employment or employment side of immigration, it serves a very vital need of actually bringing or processing foreign workers for a lot of specialized services, you know, whether it's computer science, whether it's doctors. There's obviously a lot of investor visas available for people that can invest heavy amounts in areas that need investment. It's not just that, you know, I want to invest anywhere. That's kind of something, a misconception a lot of people have. But so it provides a lot of vital labor source. Both at what is called skilled and unskilled. I don't like the distinction, because even for a lot of the what's considered unskilled labor, agricultural, industrious labor, job employment available opportunities, I don't think it's a very unskilled work. It requires a lot of skill to do a lot of this work, and a lot of skill that, quite frankly, either here in the United States, we don't want to do that work. I don't think many of us want to go around picking any sort of vegetables or fruit. But it takes a lot of skill to do that work. Once you see what needs to be done and how you need to know about handling crops and how to not handle them and care for them and, you know, do the harvesting and the plantation part. So I don't like the distinction between skilled and unskilled work, but that is what it is, at least in law. And so if it weren't for the availability of some people to be able to come in those type of visas, we wouldn't have food, for starters, and a lot of the other services that we rely on.
Brenda, before we let you go, though, you're also getting involved in politics. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Yes, well, I happen to be running for State House as well. A lot of biographical information about that, issue statements and biographical information about myself at votebrendalopez.com. If anyone's interested in joining us or helping us with the campaign, it doesn't matter where you live. You can be a volunteer no matter where you live. All I need you to live in the district if you're going to vote for me. But yeah, I think that just sort of goes hand in hand with a lot of the work that I do and that I've done, both not just career wise, but also, as I mentioned before, in just my personal advocacy volunteer work that I do. Always been heavily interested in education access and opportunity for folks. It's obviously what got me here today. And so, you know, just a lot of the work that I know and that I see that there's a need for. And my district is actually in Gwinnett County. I live and work here. So I've known the area very well. I've been in Gwinnett County a little bit over 10 years. Okay. But in Georgia for 27, so most of my life.
Great. So BrendaLopez.com for that. We appreciate that very much. That's awesome. For those that want to find out more about your practice and may need your services as an attorney, give us all that information.
Absolutely. You're welcome to email me at the email is Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z, at LopezFirm.com. And the phone number for the office is 678-693-3836, 678-693-3836. And again, that email is Lopez at LopezFirm.com. That's usually the best way to reach me. We're on Facebook, too. If you just look us up as the Lopez Firm LLC, you can follow and send us messages through Facebook as well.
Great. Brenda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Stephen, you got one more piece of unfinished business.
Absolutely. I just wanted to let you know that Faratech, who is the sponsor of this show, has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offer outstanding customer service. Faratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Faratech products, so you know that they stand behind their quality. For more info, visit Faratech.com. That's Faratech.com.
You know what I was doing while you were reading that?
What were you
doing? I was on the computer here taking a quick test on QuickBooks. I'm now a certified CPA.
No. You're a certified QuickBooks Pro advisor is what you would be, right?
But I could be a CPA now,
you're
right?
You're a CFO.
You're CFO. No. That's what it was. You know, if you're going to make the connection, you got to remember which of the C acronyms he used.
It's all alphabet soup to me. It all runs together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What was that, Brenda?
CPAs require a test of sorts, right, at least some credentials.
And I watched Perry Mason over my lunches in college, so I'm an attorney.
That's right.
Or you just play one on TV. You play one on the radio.
I can play one on the
That's
radio.
Right. All right. Well, we want to thank our guest, Brenda Lopez with the Lopez Firm, and Dan Lucas with Credo Financial Services for joining us and putting up with the tomfoolery today. A quick reminder that you can enjoy this program from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio shows anytime, day or night, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can download the shows on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Please do that. In fact, after the show, Dan and Brenda, we need you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Also, you can go to our YouTube channel that we have, and you can watch all these wonderful programs. It's Business Radio X Gwinnett Studio. For any parting words, Stephen, before we say our goodbyes?
Apparently, Tom and I are going out to lunch. Tomfoolery. So,
oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Can I come?
Well, it's a no host lunch, so I don't know. You're the yes host.
No,
so.
No.
Mike's the yes host.
There we go. All right. For Stephen, I believe, in our producers, Trey and Zay, I'm Mike Salmon, and we shall see you next time right here, Gwinnett Business Radio.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Faratech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Faratech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Faratech.com.